Alchemy. Yo.
Yo, yo.
Look at that. You can hear me?
Oh, it sounds really good.
Yay, crispy.
Nice, nice. Okay. I like this. I like this.
I had to use it on my lot. You know, I thought I charged my the AirPods case and everything, but I guess it just didn't last.
You know what you should do, just to be safe, and I do this every week, is at least once a week, clean your AirPods and the case.
Oh.
Because the contacts in there, sometimes they don't connect. Like, if you get anything on there that's super sensitive, they don't charge all the way.
Oh, thanks.
So, it's something I do, like, at least once a week just to make sure, because sometimes I'll be using my AirPods, I'm like, why is one running down before the other sometimes?
Yeah.
And it's because the contacts in the case are not, they don't have, like, a total clean connection to your AirPods. So, yeah, look at that tech advice right off the top.
Look at us.
Dang.
This sounds hella crisp. I can really hear you.
And I can really hear you. I think we might do this.
Yeah, we should probably do this.
Well, I think we should actually start doing it on Zoom. We'll talk about that later. Because
yeah, that'd be fun.
Because I think then we'll have a video component, and we can actually
use it as content.
Exactly. And I can pull the audio. People don't know this, I don't think. On Zoom, you can pull the separated audio. So you'd be separate from me. So we could actually mix it better, even. How about that?
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Anyway, you know how we do in the intro, always talking about food. And I kind of had a food comment. Not very interesting. This is how you get in quarantine times or, you know, pandemic era type food. I recently switched from eating oatmeal, and now I'm addicted to turkey bacon for breakfast.
Oh, turkey bacon. Yeah, turkey bacon is good. That's what I eat.
Oh, it's so good. Everybody out there. But here's the thing. I know people really like regular bacon because they like the fat in it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is all well. It is tasty. But, you know, I used to have, like, really bad cholesterol. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, like 5 years ago, that's why I stopped eating red meat and tried to stop eating most cheeses. And I changed my diet, yeah. Well, because doctors nowadays, let's talk about this for a second. Because this is kind of what we do in society in general. I went to a regular doctor appointment, got my blood checked. Doctor's like, your cholesterol is a little bit high. Like, you should probably cut out some things. So she told me ideas of cutting out things. So I said, okay. Now, here's the thing. But before she just said, you should cut out some things, I left this part out. She said, I can put you on medication.
No.
I was like, why don't you just let me change my habits? Like, because, and no disrespect to her, but I feel like doctors do this. It's like,
yeah, they put you on fucking medication.
Right, it's like, why don't you just let me try to solve it naturally, and then, you know, I get the concern, but dang. Anyway, healthy eating ain't so bad, by the way. I mean, really, I haven't had steak for, like, 5 years, and I miss it. Went to La Perea last night to pick up some food, and I'm picking up a grilled chicken burrito bowl, basically. And it's probably, I would guess, one of the healthier things there. And while I'm waiting, there's a guy that's waiting for, I don't know, his wife or girlfriend or something. And he just starts telling me, he goes, man, so full. I just had those steak tacos. I was like, man, that's like the best thing they have. I was like, it's like the universe was teasing me.
Yeah, it sounds delicious.
Steak is so good. How do you like steak?
I love steak. I love when my dad makes steak.
How do you get it though? Are you like give me the steak raw, give me the steak medium?
Oh, like, no. Okay. I like that shit cooked. I don't like no I mean, yeah, my dad, I don't even know how he does our steak, to be honest. I just eat it. I think it's well done. I just eat it how he eats it.
Okay.
I think, like, I don't even know. Yeah, but I know I don't want something, like, super, super pink.
Right, yeah, me neither. That, to me, is like, what would be the point? I would just go out and kill the animal myself and just...
yeah.
Right. Just what about us hunting? Now, that would be a show.
Yo,
hunting in the wilderness. We're about to have steak tonight.
Shit, that would be funny as fuck.
Take us, like, an hour to get through the field to get to the animal.
Yeah, I mean, the cow would be bigger than us.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we can carry this back. That'd be an entertaining show. Anyway, all right. Well, no steak for me,
no
but
steak.
You know, it's all good. So there's always the other options, which, you know, turkey or chicken.
Yep.
Those are like my Thanks. Options. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, that's kind of a depressing intro, but let's get into it. Yo, 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 and yo, it's Simon Illa.
It is G.
And it's the Two Gimps Walking to a Bar podcast brought to you via the Anchor app. Go to anchor.fm. You can get the app for your desktop, or you can go to search for the Anchor app in your cellular device. Nobody says that anymore. But you can record, edit, and distribute your own podcast, which nobody will listen to. You know, and why not? Join the crowd. Have a podcast, you know? Like I said, now when you're born, you're given two things. A social security number and a podcast. So, welcome to the world. Who produces this podcast?
It's Alchemy LLC.
That is correct. Okay, so I want to start this episode today discussing something that happened today. Now, the fun thing is, when I say something happened, a lot of times people assume it's a bad thing. You go, I want to talk about something that happened. This is actually it's just a thing, and it's actually very cool and interesting. Just to kind of give people some insight on what the disabled have to do. Once again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying part of the process of being a disabled. So my chair... nothing wrong with my chair. It's only, 2.5 years old. So my chair, the cushion in it, for anyone that's listening, these chairs nowadays are very customizable. Very. Everything down to the seats. And not only that, but you know, I'm sure, and everybody out there should know, not just the seats, like the seat bottom is just as customizable as the seat back. Like every little bit is customizable. The arms, the handlebar, like all these things, the controllers, all of that. So, my seat cushion, by the way, these things are crazy expensive, which is kind of dumb because they kind of know they can get away with it because they're getting basically insurance money is what they're getting, and it's needed. So, that is a little bit of a complaint. I think it's a little shiesty. But my seat cushion... So the seat cushions have really evolved over the years, at least from when I was young to now. You're pretty used to it because you're very young. But back in the day, they were just like, sometimes they were molded to your body or whatever, like kind of, you know, different needs for different people, obviously. But the new modern cushions, which I really like, so basically they are like a foam core, at least the one I have, is a foam core, but it's covered in like a waterproof plastic. But not like a hard plastic, obviously. Almost like a, I don't know. It's like a, not a hard shell, but like a, kind of like a plastic bag, but really thick. That makes no sense. But you know what I'm saying, Jay, right? And the reason for that is obviously for possible medical reasons, but also because your chair might be outdoors, you might, you know, pour water on it, you might, whatever. Like, it's just it's it re rejects I say or repels water and fluids for reasons, you know.
Right.
So now here's the thing. My other chair never had a problem with the cushion. Never had a problem with the cushion. Like, it never got punctured or anything. And the seat covers, I try to replace them every year and a half or so, just because you're sitting in it all the time. If y'all knew, think about it, y'all out there, because most people out there are walking around doing shit. We're sitting in a chair all day. Now, just to be real, I think about how many times I probably farted in my chair.
Yeah.
It's probably thousands by the time, like, a year rolls around. Just by and you live in the chair, basically. I mean, you and I move around a lot, you know, which is definitely a fortunate thing, you know, and some people can't. So there's a lot of wear and tear that goes into the seats. But I've never had this happen. This is crazy. So on this new chair, not only did my seat, they gave me a new cover like a year and a half ago. The coating on it, it's like a zip-on cover. You know what I mean? Like a, it's like a glove, basically, you know, or whatever you, like a fitted sheet. But like, it's supposed to be kind of waterproof and a little bit, you know, higher quality.
Yeah.
Because it is for a wheelchair. And it's, I think it's, I don't know what it is. It might be, it's probably over $100 just for the cover.
Yes.
And the thing is, the coating, like whatever's like on the coating and the outside of it, started kind of peeling off months ago. And it was nasty because I was like, get these little black shavings on my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what is this? Like, what's like something coming apart? And I look, it's my seat cover. And it's just like falling apart. So wherever I sit, that coating is basically gone.
Whoa.
So I was like, okay, well, I need to order a new one then. But then I noticed, like, I didn't notice it until a couple weeks ago, actually. But I was unbuckling my seatbelt, and I touched the cushion. There's a freaking hole in my actual cushion. So not only did the seat thing wear out, or the cover, but then the plastic coating on the seat, it's got a hole in it. So now you can see all the way down into the foam.
Oh, no.
Which is weird. Like, I know it seems very trivial, but the reason I called the wheelchair company today is because for anyone out there in a wheelchair, get ahead of these problems if you can. Hopefully your insurance can take care of it. But all you got to do is call these places, tell them what's going on, be very nice, be very respectful, and not be, you know, super crazy. And everything goes fine. This is part of my moral of this story is, so I called them. And I told them what the problem was. And they said, okay, we're going to have a technician call you. And you can tell them what you need.
Right.
So they called me. And I said, look, I was just straight up not, by the way, I'm not mad about, not upset. I said, look, you know, like, the cushion I had before, it didn't wear and tear. And I had it for like 7 years. And now this cushion's already got a hole in it. And the cover's wearing out already. So here's the new pandemic era wheelchair assessment, and I love it. This lady said, when they called me, she said, take pictures of your seat cushion, like, you know, if you can, or as soon as you can. So I got out the chair when I had some time, took a picture of the hole, and then took a picture showing like the cover and how it's like kind of rubbing off or whatever. And she said, here's what's dope about this, and here's why I always tell people, just be cool with these people at the wheelchair companies. Like, I know, I just heard a lot of complaints, but I've never really had a problem. Like, I've even gone to these websites for these companies, and people have these crazy giant complaints, and I'm like, I've not had a problem, you know.
Right.
And I think I know why it is. So I'll say that in a second. Long story short, she said, can you take a couple of pictures of your chair, because if there's anything else you need, I want to know. Like, I want to be able to look at the chair and see if, like, visually there may be other things you need. So that way we can take care of it all at once. And isn't that smart? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So here's where it gets funny. I was like, think about you living by yourself. How do you, I take a picture of my chair when I'm in it. Like, I gotta be in it. So, you know what I did? Broke out the drone. My drone's got a camera on it.
Ooh.
So I took pictures of my chair from the drone. Like, it hovers, like, had it, like, 2 feet off the ground. And I just took three different angles of my chair and sent it to her. By the way, oh, that's the other thing. You can text your pictures to these companies now. She gave me a number.
Ooh.
She's like, just text me the pictures, and I'll call you back, and I'll tell you what I think you need. So I did, and like an hour later, she called me back. She was like, by the way, you're very attractive. She didn't say that. I made sure not to, like, show my face. She goes, yeah, I think we're going to get you new tires because your tires are worn out and you haven't gotten batteries for a while. Do you want batteries? So I said yes. Anyway, here's my moral to all this. I think the reason that people, the only thing I can think is people would complain if they wait too long to get something fixed or looked at. Do you know what I mean? Possibly. I know things happen, too. I know things just happen. But I think it would be wise to... Because you and I talked about this. One of the first things we talked about when we first met is wheelchair maintenance. If you're in a wheelchair permanently... Why did I emphasize it like that? Permanently. You should either take your chair in or have it looked at least once a year.
Yes.
At least. Even if there's nothing wrong with it that you foresee. Because I can't see everything. So if I get a technician that can, and most companies will do this, if they can take a look at it somehow and say, because what if somebody comes over and says, oh, this bolt is coming loose. You know, and I can fix it now. Or I'll switch your batteries up now so you don't end up being stranded, you know, out in the cold or something. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just things like that to try to plan ahead and catch things before they happen. I know unpredictable things do happen. So I'm not, there's nothing you can do about that. I'm just saying, if you can, like, preventative maintenance is key, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you take the steps. If you see stuff kind of falling apart, or even if you don't, still get it together.
Yeah, to me, it's like you treat it, I would say treat it like a car, but it's literally a mix between a car and a pair of legs. You know what I mean? So treat it like a car, but also like a part of your body where you get it, you know, if you go to a checkup with your doctor every 6 months or a year, then take your chair in or get it looked at. If you can't, like, and like I said, I hope to think that most people in that situation do have some insurance lined up, you know, where they can't have it looked at. By the way, even if you got a friend that knows some mechanics or simple, you say, hey, can you kind of look around my chair and see if anything looks loose or out of whack or, you know, like, whatever, you know, just... Anyway.
No, I think that's really good advice.
That is my advice for the day. Now, the real deal that I wanted to talk about is it's the end of the year. A lot of people do, you know, top 10, top whatever lists. And I thought this would be cool for us to talk about. But we got to go back and forth, like a versus battle. It's not really a battle. But I want to know, just for what we do, this is for the producers out there. I want to know our respective top 5 plugins and why we like them.
So just plugins? So not like,
I think so.
Not virtual instruments?
No, it could be because that's what I was going to say. It can be because you produce more than you mix.
Yeah.
And I mix as much or more than I produce, actually. So they're going to be different. Yeah, I think any kind of tool that helps you get the job done.
Okay.
So, who wants to go first?
You can go first.
I just talked for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Because I feel like
the
mixing will be a good, will be good to talk about.
Okay. Well, I will, like I said, we'll go back and forth. So I'll do one, then you do one, you know, we'll just go back and forth. So top five, plus this will give you time to brainstorm while I'm talking. So my first one is the Infinity EQ, which you get in the Slate bundle. So if you go to slate.com, by the way, we are not compensated to say this, but Slate plugins, you get the Slate bundle, by the way, for $15 a month. And you get access to all of their plugins. All of them. It's like dozens of them. So the Infinity EQ is one of my favorite equalizers. Now, it does mid-side EQing. If you know what that is, awesome. If you don't, you can always learn. But basically, it allows you to EQ your sides different than your center channel, which is really great when you're mixing, especially for bass and stuff. But I like it because its visual aspect is like Pro-Q. If anybody out there has ever used Pro-Q, it's very visual and very precise. So you can visually see what you're doing when you're doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you see basically the EQ output of whatever you're playing. While you're EQing it, you can see the result, you know, which does help a little bit. But I just found that you can really clean up things if you're, you know, cutting out lows or trying to cut out highs or doing some notch filtering or brightening something a touch. But it's really, to me, it's just a way more affordable version of Pro-Q. Pro-Q is really good. It would probably be my favorite, but it's just too expensive. It's like when Infinity EQ does the same thing. Also, it comes with really good pre. Pro-Q is great. Yeah,
but you have it.
Yeah, so I mean that's great. That's a great EQ, but to me, Infinity EQ is just as good, and it comes with this bundle. Right. So it's like, why not? So there you go. That's my first one. Infinity EQ in the Slate everything bundle. So go check that out.
Alright,
your turn.
Okay, so I like, as far as instruments go, I really like the Analog Lab, which comes, because I have the Arteria V collection, and it just comes with so much good shit. I mean, I literally use that for my beats, because I do like to use loops, however, depending on the opportunity, I don't like to use loops unless I know the person that I'm working with. Just because, like, I don't know. I don't want to run into some shit where, like, YouTube is weird. Because sometimes if you use a loop, you know what I mean, from somebody else that other producers potentially could have used, it doesn't pick it up. But sometimes it does. So I just don't like to run into the fucking chance that somebody, you know, somebody does use it, and it's a big question, and then the label's like, what the fuck, yo? So, I've really been using Analog Lab. That shit is so fucking fire. It has a whole bunch of sounds and, like, weird-ass sounds that you can use.
Yeah.
Overall, the Arteria V collection is just a really good thing. And I told Simon that it was on sale, so we got it around the same time. Yep.
We did. Yeah. We got it.
It was like $100, huh? Or 200 or something like that.
I think it was over. I think
it was half off. So it was like 200.
Because wasn't it like 250?
Yeah. So I think we paid like 200, 250 or whatever. But it's so worth the price. So I like great investment. And then you should definitely look into it. If you can't get Omnisphere, I mean, Omnisphere is just its own different kind of beast. But, I mean, I do feel like I've been seeing more and more producers using Analog Lab and shit lately.
Probably because it is a little more affordable. And it's good. And if you get, I'm sorry to jump on your thing, but if you get pigments.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, but I didn't want to count it too. So definitely get pigments. I got that as well. It's a good one. Okay,
nice,
your turn.
Nice. Okay, I'm back on another mixing one. This is one that not a lot of people know about, but you and I have talked about it, and it's so good. Okay, Crack Spacer.
Oh yeah, you put me on that.
Crack Spacer. I can't. I feel bad because I can't remember the company that makes it. I can't remember. I don't know if you're at a computer.
Oh yeah, on my computer.
I
remember.
Google it possibly.
We're doing this from my computer.
Oh yeah, oh, that's right. Well, see who makes, if you can, without closing this tab out, is see who makes
Waves Factory.
But, oh, there it is. That's right. Thank you. Waves Factory, Track Spacer. Actually, Patrick bought this for me years ago. And he's like, you're going to love this because I love sidechain compression. And this is what this is. So basically what it is for everyone out there, it is... frequency-dependent compression. And basically what that means is, so say Jay, you're rapping on a beat that I made. Shay, you can be rapping on a beat you made. Anyway, so what I can do is say, just to make it very simple, I put Track Spacer, okay, so I have a two-track beat, and you're rapping on it, so I have a vocal and then a two-track. I could basically put Track Spacer on the two track, and then what I do is I send your vocal out a bus. So we'll say whatever bus, you know, we designate it. I would probably call it vocal sidechain or something. So and I can turn that up whatever however much I want to. Now in Track Spacer, it's designed to be a sidechain plugin. So I set the sidechain to that track, and basically what it does is it EQs the two track depending on the frequencies in the vocal. So for everyone out there, basically what it does is it can make room for your whatever track. But the great thing is it's not just for vocals. Like I've used it quite a bit for other things. Like if you want a synthesizer pad or something and you have a guitar and you want the guitar to kind of fit around the synth, you can send the guitar to the synth, and it'll pull out the guitar frequencies out of the synth. So it basically just makes room. If you think of audio almost like a liquid, I know it sounds weird to say, but you're basically pulling out the stuff you don't want that's in the other part. So you're not overcrowding it, basically. So it's probably one of my... Oh, by the way, you can determine how much you want it to pull out too, and you can bypass low and high frequencies. So if you don't have a lot, if you just got a lot of mid-range, you can tell it, oh, like, you know, don't affect anything up or below 100 hertz or above like 6K. And you, like I said, you can change how much you want to pull out. So common use, and then I'll jump back to you. Common use for me, typical use for me, is when I'm mixing and I have a drum bus, a bass, or a sub bus, a music bus, which is all like the guitar, synth, whatever, you know, mid-range instruments, and then a vocal bus. And what I'll do is, so I don't affect the whole track, I will put Track Spacer on just my music bus.
Ooh.
And send the vocals to that. So that way the drums and the bass, because vocals don't sit in those spaces.
Right.
You know what I mean? And your drums are they hit too fast to really be affected by a vocal. Your ear doesn't catch it. So you can just, that way you're not affecting your whole mix. And it's so, and when you adjust the amount, you basically make it transparent. You can't tell. By the way, it's good on podcasts too. So if somebody's talking, like if you're talking over music, like for an advertisement, I can pull your vocal frequencies out of the music bed. So I don't have to crank you up.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you gotta go turn my voice way up. You don't have to. It'll sit right in there. So anyway, there you go, Waves Factory Track Spacer. That's okay, my number two. What is your number two? You probably got so many. I bet we both have so many that it's ridiculous.
Oh, I just recently, Electra no, addictive keys. That's another BST, but addictive keys. Because I know a lot of people, they use like Keyscape, which isn't really good. Piano plugin, but it's also not cheap. Well, I don't want to say not cheap. It's just in comparison to addictive keys. But I really do like addictive keys. I've seen other mainstream, I guess, producers use addictive keys. I was like, oh, it was on sale during Cyber Monday or some shit. And I was like, why not? So I bought it.
So what kind of keyboards that like is it like all kinds
there is a catch 22 to addictive keys. Because the one thing I do like about Keyscape is there's a bunch of pianos in there. So it's like a bunch of different pianos.
Yeah.
With addictive keys though,
right,
they're separate. So I got the Studio Grand piano and it has different ones.
Yeah.
And then they have the Electric Grand, and they have Mark One, and then Modern Upright. So that's kind of the catch 22 of it, is that it's separated, but with Keyscape, you get a bunch of pianos that are just really nice. It just depends on what you're looking for. But for me, I don't need a bunch of fucking pianos, Arteria already has Piano V2, which is good as well. I just like to use both or whatever. But yeah, I do like addictive keys for pianos. Really nice, really smooth sounds. So, yep, I got the Studio Grand version.
Nice. So they basically break it down by piano type. So it's the same kind of like series. It's almost like Arturia, where we got the V collection, will be more like Keyscape. Where it's like you get everything, but Addictive Keys is like a one-off. It's like, oh, if you want the Mark.
Yeah, the Mark One. I like grand pianos. You know what I mean? Like for what I make, for what I produce. And because since I already have the Piano V2 that comes with Arteria, I'm pretty set when it comes to And Contact has pianos and shit. So I have enough pianos to fucking last me. Fucking lifetime.
Yeah.
That's just my favorite instrument.
It's probably one of the most it's pianos are really versatile. Yeah. We kind of default to that, because think about classical music. Think about how versatile strings are too. Because we're so acclimated.
Yeah,
because
I took piano lessons when I was a kid. So I've always been going back to fucking piano. And what I've noticed too is when I do get beats like placed and shit, or people that like gravitate towards beats, it's typically when I do use pianos. So how people talk about like, oh, what's your sound? I definitely feel like I'm more of a like melodic type. Like I like melodic shit, also ambient type beats or as well.
Yeah. That's the thing. And piano, that's the thing about piano, though. You can use that for both. I know you know that. I'm just going to state the obvious. But even a lot of my beats, like when I was younger, a lot of piano. But then again, that was like Dr. Dre. I was really inspired and influenced by producers like Dr. Dre. But he always had great keyboard players, that would come in and play on his. I mean, think about Scott Storch. A lot of piano sounds and his stuff,
That's his thing. It's my thing is like it's definitely when you're producing, I've noticed like people try to be like a jack of all trades, master of fucking none. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I see, what I noticed? I'm gonna just put it out there. A lot of producers that don't have no kind of backing to really stand off of like to give just say a lot of shit out of their neck about how you should produce or what you should fucking do. And I feel like it's okay to be versatile, obviously, like that visual, but there's a certain genre that I just don't touch because, like, it's just not my thing. Like, I'm not going to make a fucking heavy metal song, you know what I'm saying? And if I do, it's fucking crazy, you know what I mean? But I think people, like, I think you should try to, like, be, like, become really good at least, like, one thing and then diversify. Because I feel like if you try to become kind of good at just certain genres, then it just kind of fucks it up. You know what I'm saying? So if you're like, damn, if I'm really good at fucking, just for conversation sake, if I'm really good at trap beats, you know what I'm saying? Then I would make the best motherfucking trap beats ever. You know what I'm saying? And then I could be like, okay, these are the things I kind of learned from trap. How can I, like, you know, put these in, to other genres?
Adapt those. It's funny that you say this because I randomly, it's randomly, but I came across this quote the other day, and I may get it wrong, but I don't think I will. But it says exactly what you just said, and it's a philosophical quote. It says, learn everything about something small and learn a little bit about everything. So basically what they're saying, what you just said is like, if you're great at one genre, just be killing at that. And if you want, dabble in the others and see how you... Yeah, but, you know, I think everybody's... It's rare, really rare that someone can touch a lot of genres and do well at them. I mean, because some of the greatest producers out there that I know, even guys like Rick Rubin, you know, who's known for producing a lot of rap records. Like, it's so funny. He's like this old dude. And I don't know if people know this, but he was probably in his 50s when he made 99 Problems for Jay-Z. You know what I mean? Like, so you can't, and that's a dope-ass beat. I don't care whether you're new school or old school, you know what I mean? Like, that's a hard-ass beat, you know? And,
you told me just before we get into yours, okay, you have taught me about, like, I've definitely expanded when it comes to, like, genres lately. However, you still, like, would know it's me, if that makes sense. Because there's just certain things that, like, I do when it comes to beats. Drums are my strongest component. I, like, really make sure the drums are great. Melodies, I am good when it actually, you and I were talking about this, when it comes to, like, pop style, whatever, I don't know, the new Weeknd type shit, good at that shit. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. So, you know, you kind of find what your strengths are. But I always tell people, like, don't focus so much on your fucking weaknesses. Find those whose strengths are your, you know, conceived weaknesses, you know? Like, you're really good with melodies. You're good at melodies, so I hit you up when I have an opportunity that I just, you know, I'm like, why give something that's not going to be the fucking best, but I can do the job. So I think that's what people gotta kind of like think about. That's what I mean by you don't have to be like great at fucking everything. You know what I mean? Like, collaboration is great. Anyway, okay. Your third plugin or PST?
My third plugin is gonna be a short and sweet one here. I've been using it a lot lately. This is a Waves plugin. It's called V-Comp, which is basically kind of what it sounds like. It's a vocal compressor, and I use it on a lot of stuff now. And basically, it's a analog-type compressor. This is a great thing. It has a compressor, a limiter, and a de-esser all in one plugin, right? So it's great on vocals. I love this thing on vocals. So, but here's the thing. I don't really use the limiter that much, but the compressor section is really good, and the de-esser is pretty good, although I use another de-esser, which I could talk about, but probably not top five. But V-Comp, and the funny thing is, in the presets, and this is no secret because everybody else can use it, one time I was looking through the presets in it, And there's a Steve Lillywhite preset that was like, it's like a vocal leveler. I was like, shit, whether he actually went in and designed it or had somebody do it for him, I don't know. Either way, I do love it. And it basically, if you have a vocal that's kind of all over the place level-wise, that thing will put it right there in your ear. And you can't hear it
working. What's it called again?
It's weird. Like,
okay.
A V comp. V as in vocal. V comp. And it's a Waves plugin. So people should go get that. Give it a whirl. That's my number three. Because I realize we'll probably end up talking for 3 hours about this. Anyway, what's your number three?
Because again, like I told you, I like to make like ambient beats with like hard 808s and shit, like really weird shit. So I like Electro X because you can get a lot of like arps and pads and shit like that. And I just fucking love that VST, so I use it often. What's your fourth?
Nice. Okay, my fourth. Yeah, I'm switching to VST now. And it's a little bit of an oldie but a goodie for me.
That's true.
I think Synthmaster is kind of underrated. I don't know if a lot of people use it still. That thing has got some dope-ass bass. It's got some really good lead sounds. Like, they're very synthy things. Like, the pads in it are really good. It has arpeggios in it that are pretty good. And I like it. It's got two layers. It's two-layer synth, basically. But what I really love about it is it's very easy to edit the presets. Especially, like, if you want to take, like, oh, I really like this preset, but it's got too much reverb. Or this delay is a little, like, it's easily editable. And I don't know how cheap it is, but I know it goes.
I think
on
I got
sale.
It on sale.
For everyone out there that might be
I got it for less than
Yeah, I mean.
And you're like, how the fuck did you do that? And I was like,
I remember.
Yeah,
you got it pretty cheap. They actually have a bundle. I think there's something else called Synthmaster 1, which is like and I have that too. But Synthmaster, underrated, and you can get so many expansions. Like, they just have tons and tons of expansions. And plus, when you get a new computer, I really like the ease of use when you need to just get your key, like your license key. And they're so easy with that stuff. So shout out to Synthmaster. I don't know I don't know what company makes it, but you can go to like plug-in.
Yeah, I mean, it's just called Synthmaster.
Or there's a couple others, but Synthmaster, yep. So go there and like look at what they have, and like, and I think if you are geared toward like the throwback, like you said, like the kind of retro 80s kind of stuff, or kind of synth pop kind of stuff, you'll find shit. I mean, probably not so much hip hop, but you know, and R&B.
Yeah.
I think there's cool R&B type.
Yeah, I've been using it for more of my like pop club shit that I've had to make and shit like that. I really like Synthmaster for that.
Yep.
Okay.
So damn, wait, is that my
that's
third?
Your fourth.
Oh yeah, good.
Okay.
So I was like, I'd be running out of
words. My fourth is Arcade. I don't give a fuck. That shit is I love when it works on my shit, because sometimes it doesn't. I'm paying for the fucking membership, so because you can't. I mean, I'm sure someone has figured out how to crack that shit, but I just paid it $10 a month. I have Arcade, and it just has so much shit. Oh my gosh! Like, the only thing I don't care for Arcade is it really takes up a lot of CPU. So I have to like I have to typically export like whatever I make using it or whatever into a WAV file on FL Studio, which is easy to do. But that's I would say kind of the drawback or when I use Arcade. But Arcade just has so much shit in there, like it's fucking beautiful. You know, vocal chops, nice. Just brass sounds, guitar sounds, any sound really, and it you can break it up by genre. So like if I know I'm making an R&B beat, I'll just, you know, filter it so it shows me like R&B type kits or whatever. It's got hyper pop. I mean, it's got a lot of genres on there that are like very, it's a versatile thing. So that's definitely in my top shit for sure that I use quite often. You
nice
fit.
So my fifth, this is a tough one. Trying to think of, there's so many plugins. Oh, I know it. There's a lot I could go through, but this one is some secret sauce, but it's not really secret. Virtual tape machine.
I haven't heard of that.
Is
I haven't heard of that.
Okay, I think it's a Waves plugin, a virtual tape machine, and basically what it is, you put it on your master output. Or by the way,
it's not sleep, master output.
You can just. I don't know. It might be virtual tape machine. It could be.
What's it look like? Yeah,
it looks like an old recording machine. Okay. Good. Thank you. I always forget because I just have them and I don't think about what company it is. But anyway, so here's what it does for all y'all out there. It's literally a virtual tape simulator. And anybody that knows anything about old analog gear, if you want to know what makes things kind of sound nice and warm, like things, digital stuff sounds really brittle and just kind of like harsh, you know, it's like our fingernails on a chalkboard. But when you add analog elements to things, it softens them up, but it's also like an audio glue, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? So, and also, it gives you a thing called, there's such a thing called distortion, but there's a good distortion. So, Here's an example of why it's good, and a real world example. When I first started working with Sam Thomas, one of my friends, he's a brilliant engineer, tons of hit records, Grammys, all that shit. He's a great engineer. And I was in the studio with him once, and it was the first time I saw this happen, but he was mixing a song for a client, and he ran the drums, I do believe the kick and snare. He was working in Pro Tools, by the way, but he ran the drums to a tape machine, like an old school, but the high-end tape machine. And basically what it lets you, you know how you can clip things in Pro Tools or in, you know, whatever program you're working in? Digital clipping is bad because it's harsh. It, like, sounds fucked up. But when, basically, think about this. Think about your kick drum hitting a brick wall. How dope that would sound. Because it's so big, you know what I mean? Like, it's a harder impact. So when you record the tape, you can push the signal to where it just runs out of room. And it just hits like a brick wall. So when you run drums on tape, you can really get them sounding gigantic. Like, it's ridiculous. But also what you can do, so you can use a virtual tape machine on your drum bus. And it sounds great. But what also you can do is you can put it on your master output and it gives it like a little glue to make everything sit together. It's almost like you're blurring it, if that makes sense. So say if you have things that don't kind of really totally fit together sonically, you put that tape machine on it, sometimes it will kind of smooth the edges over and everything sounds like a record. Like, it sounds like one piece. So, a lot of the times, even when I'm making beats, or I'm mixing, like, I did this recently, I mixed vocals for Josh Rubin on a couple of songs, and I ran everything through tape.
Gosh.
And it just sounds so good. So, it's just a little warm and fuzzy feeling. So, that's a little pro extra tip, right? Because people do great mixes without it, but I would suggest all y'all try it sometime. Just put it on there. By the way, it's not a whole lot of options, so you're not really going to mess up. But you can look up what the different options are and kind of see what they'll do for you. But it's awesome. I put it on every... It's like ranch dressing.
Oh, wait. Hot sauce commercial.
So that's my number five. There you go, yes. What's your number five?
Shit.
Good luck. There's so many plugins. It's like when you get down to the last one, you're like,
yeah,
how can I just pick one? Is there a mixing plugin you like? That you use like all the time?
I do
Hitmon's,
like
okay,
Decapitator.
Get out of my head. How did I know you were going to say
I used that on
Decapitator is the shit.
From, ever since I watched this video of Nard and B, I dissected a video for them. Because I like to watch certain producers and kind of techniques that they use. Just to, you know, see what I want to apply to my own shit. And he uses Decapitator on when he wants to make shit like hit really, really hard. And I actually knew about Decapitator because of Wonder Girl, who is one of my like favorite producers. She's actually the reason why I make my drums so fucking crispy, because that's what she became known for, is like her drums, like hard hitting kicks and shit like that. So yeah, I used Decapitator on my 808s and like basses and stuff like that when I just want to give it a little, you know, nudge to make it beefy and shit.
The funny thing about that is Decapitator kind of does it does it in a different way, but it does what the tape simulator does, because it adds that analog distortion. Like for everybody out there, if you're running sound through like an SSL console or like one of the classic consoles, sometimes if you push the level a little too much, there's like a good distortion that like just gives it a little more grit and just makes it nasty. Like I've just heard some drums, like if you listen, I know he's old school now, but if you listen to a master like Dr. Dre, like listen to his drums, it's like you would sit and want, like, how the hell do you do that? It's like magic. You know what I mean? His drums just hit so... That's what set him apart, too. It's like, his drums just hit so hard back in those days. People were wondering how he did it. It's like, how the hell do you do that? We could get into it another day, but somebody, if you're out there listening to this, look up Parallel Compression. You'll thank me later. It'll make your drums even bigger, like massive drums. Anyway, we gotta wrap this baby up. So, it's funny you should ask. Y'all can find me as Simonilla everywhere. SimonIlla everywhere. Simonilla. You can find me everywhere. Somebody's gonna be like, I looked up Simonilla everywhere. Oh, all one word. You can find me all the fashionable places. Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter. I already said Instagram. Black Planet, Pornhub. That's about it. Oh, also, I do have a nightly Instagram live, which you can find 11 p.m. to midnight every night, which I might be switching the schedule up. New year, new things. So we'll figure that out. But anyway, Jake, where can they find
you? Well, you can find me at Mini Producer everywhere. Mini Producer on all fucking platforms. you're going to want to keep up with me, because I just dropped a video, Simon. I know you didn't. Well, I don't know if you saw it or not. You didn't like it, so. Yeah,
I will now.
Snippet, I have a song that's coming out that has a feature on it with Young Blue. And if you don't know who Young Blue is, he's pretty big. he did a song with Jake. Yeah, he did a song with Jake and shit. Nice. So, like, one of my top placements that are coming out next year. So Mini PDC is gonna be a household name. If you can't hear, I'm smiling because like I never chase placements. So that's something I would say. Producer tip: don't fucking chase placements because they come to you in the most random ass ways when you're not thinking about it. I feel like that's where people kind of fuck up. Like mm-hmm. they think so much about like, oh, I want to get a placement, I want to get a placement, then it doesn't happen. And I feel like if you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna put out the work and yeah. do what I'm doing, then shit kind of just comes to you, kind of thing. So I'm excited about that. That's a really good look for me. I also do a weekly thing now on Twitch. I'm a streamer. Yeah, I know. I did my first Twitch last Friday. So I have a schedule. Noon. Sweet. I just will be talking about like you know, tips and shit about getting placements and no scam shit. I'm not gonna tell you to buy some fucking emails online or, you know, sell your soul to get placements. Like, I'm just gonna tell you my experience of how I got placements. Everybody's fucking different. You know what I mean? So, and then at 7 p.m., I do cook-ups. Yep. So I'll be making beats and shit. And I actually, shout out to Nerd, he's one of my friends, and like I do beats for his artist and shit like that, for his label Out of Clash Records. Yeah. And he was like, yo, you should ask producers to send you loops and shit. And I was like, yo, that's fucking amazing. So I actually producers send me some loops, one because of the Young Blue shit, but also because of my Twitch shit. So I'll be cooking up beats like by myself, and then also cooking beats from people that send me loops and shit. So if you want to do that, you can send them to my email, beatsbyminiproducer@gmail.com. You know, so and send your tag too. I'm not fucking out here just going to put my tag on it. Like, everybody gets credit. And don't forget, Simon and I, we have a live that happens every Thursday at 7 p.m. Shit, I almost forgot the time. Yeah, all the same. Yeah, 7 p.m. Eastern. We do that every fucking Thursday. We review your songs. And if you want to get skip the line and get a full review, then you just send $20 to my Cash App, which is the Cash Tag and Mini Producer. But either way, we love to review people's songs. We've had some really good shit on our last week. Our shit was late as fuck. So, you know, really... really glad that we've been able to do this for several weeks now. Well, several months, I think. Like, a few months at this point that we've been doing it. So, you know, keep up with both of us, man. Because the great thing about the music industry is shit is always happening. You know what I mean? So, my workload has definitely fucking increased. Yep. But I've been balancing it out, taking breaks, not getting too burnt out with things.
You know what's nuts? We forgot to mention real quick before we close it out, for real. This Friday, as you listen to this, when this is new, this Friday,
Visa
with Jay Pilot, so right?
Coming out. Yeah, shout out to
Hearts and Halos.
Yeah, and Patrick.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so, Patrick, not forget Patrick.
Let's talk about that real quick. Yo, this song is fucking fire as fuck. And I know that was a lot of fucks, but I want to emphasize that this song is really dope. Simon and I made this beat like
it really is.
For another right? We made that beat for another opportunity. Yeah, but that
I don't think
it ever got listened to. Yeah, it.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Never got listened to, which is fine. You know, what's meant for you is meant for you. So, he got on the KVZ got on the track, and then Jay Pilot Life got on the track. Jay Pilot Life is a dope independent recording artist, and he's just dope. The whole song is fucking fire. We got Pat to add some just dope ass shit with the bass and some guitar elements and shit. Yeah, just to make it extra spicy.
Guitar bits,
you know what I mean? Song is fucking fire show. It comes out on the 18th. Be sure to stream it on all streaming platforms when it comes out. Hopefully, we want a video. I know Pilot Life said he can't wait for a video to be done. So, Simon, you're the manager. So, you're the manager. So, we need to make that shit happen because that shit
was fire. It's crazy because Vizo was like, he's like, we should see about it. And I hit up Jay, and I was like, Jay, like, what's up with, you know, and he just said, yo, we doing a video? I was like, well, me and Vizo talked about it, and he's like, I'm in Tulsa, just let me know. I was like, damn. But then, well, we'll talk about it. There's some possibilities, but I always want to make sure it's right. You know, we get a good quality video out of it. It'd be dope. So anyway, let's bounce out of here because this has been fun. But
I just keep up with both of us.
What's that? Oh yeah, yes, please. Right, and if you want to, you know, make your own podcast, as we always say, join the millions that do now, and you can go to anchor.fm to get the Anchor app for your computer, or you know, once again, go to the App Store and get it for your phone. And you can record, edit, and distribute your own podcast like we do every week. Or you can do it daily. Actually, that might even be better. If you got a lot to say, do a little daily thing. Thanks. You never know. People might want to hear what you have to say. I don't know. Anyway, it's super easy to do. So you can do that.
Yo,
and
just look at me, LLC.
Who produces this podcast? That is right. So until next time, this is Simon Illo. That's right. And this is
peace out.
This is us signing off until next week.